we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
And the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program focusing on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is CFRO 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Canada, on Friday, October 13th, 2017. For the next hour, I'm your host, Jen Dobell, and I'm joined in studio by my animal-loving vegan co-host, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
And Amir Ali.
Oh, hi.
You're included in the conversation, too.
Thank you.
Actually, speaking of that, let's talk about what we vegans call Thanksgiving celebrations. We call our compassionate versions of the typical Thanksgiving dinner Thanksgiving because we let people live, animals live, sorry. So, Allison, Amir, let's hear about your celebrations.
Yeah, well, as I spoke about last week was our annual Thanksgiving show. If anyone missed that, check it out on animalvoices.org. I was inviting everyone to attend our annual meatless meetup, Compassionate Thanksgiving, which used to be an Animal Voices event, and it's now being run by Meatless Meetup. We had a full hall. It was like 150 people, lots and lots of really good food. It was a potluck celebration, and it was just really joyous to see so many people come together to celebrate a compassionate, cruelty-free holiday, which is what Thanksgiving can be, right? Because that's I think when you want to bring people together to celebrate, obviously there's food, there's going to be, like, people want to enjoy their food, and there was no shortage of amazing food. I filled my plate up huge, and then I had seconds. I took my seconds home for work later that night, and yeah, it was amazing. We had 16 Gardein holiday roasts. Wow. Donated, which you can't buy in Vancouver, I discovered. I had these donated by the company, which is now based in the States.
Yeah, you can buy the small ones, but you can't get the big holiday
turkey
roast
balls
ones.
And they're only seasonal. Yeah, those roasts are so good. So we were so fortunate to have those. People enjoyed those, and there was just a plethora of all different kinds of food. I made an enormous salad. I called it a festive salad because it had a lot of festive looking things in it, like smoked tofu and fresh corn and carrots and cucumbers and chickpeas. And yeah, that I was surprised that was all eaten. And lots of hummus, of course, and so many different entrees. And I missed the desserts because I had to leave. I was stuffed, but I had to leave for work. But I checked in with a friend to ask him how the desserts went because they didn't bring them out till after. And he said that our MC was saying how it was like a school bake sale with all the parents competing and vying for having the best desserts. And I know there were at least some pumpkin pies there that our guest co-host Denise made. She made a couple.
Oh, she's a good baker.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I mean. I would have baked something too if I really just wanted to make a salad. But, oh, wow, was there ever a lot of good food. So we're thinking of having one for Christmas too, because I think that these events in the community are just really needed. It was so nice. Family friendly, everyone invited, and to be able to go to a meal with your community members, and you know, saw lots of people there I knew, and Jillian from Animal Voices was there. We sat together. Oh, and then also I invited a friend from one of my other jobs who is an omnivore, and he just happened to ask me, "What are you doing for Thanksgiving?" I said, "I'm going to the Compassionate Thanksgiving. Why don't you come?" And he said, "Okay," because he said he wanted to learn how to make more plant-based foods. So I said, "You should come because then you can see like over like 100 different dishes." And taste them. And he had this enormous plate. Really, it was like two plates in one, and the whole thing was full. And he ate the whole thing. And then I said, "There's dessert too, you know." He's like, "Oh yeah, I budgeted for that. I'll have dessert." But
oh, wow.
I had to leave him before. Anyways, my point is that he enjoyed. I asked him, like, "How's the food for you?" Being that you've never had so much vegan food in your life before and seen so many options.
Yeah.
And he loved it. He liked the Gardein too. I made sure he had some of that.
Great.
And it was great. So anyways, I just want to say, like, people should, you know, organize your own. There doesn't have to be 150 or 200 people there like we've had at these events. Organize your small potlucks wherever you may be. So
I really like it when I hear stories about people bringing their non-vegan friends to these events. To me, this is the main purpose of them, is to try to get somebody out there and have them leave that event going, oh, I don't need to harm animals to enjoy a good meal.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm so glad. Even like, I did invite other omnivore friends. None of them came, but this one person, Peter, shout out to Peter if you're listening. Yeah, thanks for coming, Peter, because that's what I think these events are great for as well. It's not just enjoying the community with like-minded people, but enjoying the community with people who want to learn and who are open, and for people who enjoy food, which is pretty much everyone.
Right. Amir, did you take part in anything for Thanksgiving?
I wanted to go to the Compassionate Thanksgiving, but I didn't realize how early it was. So I hope you do it on Christmas, because, yeah, I would love to come to that.
Awesome. Great. Please do.
My day wasn't so festive. Mm-hmm. I got myself a nice vegan mocha and then made some guacamole at home. And
guacamole for Thanksgiving.
I know. It's not really a match, but it was good. I just had a nice chill night, and, yeah, that was it for me.
Well, I just, I think I probably worked late that night, so I came home and I put a Gardein ball in the oven. I won't say roast, because we just said they don't have roast here.
Turkey,
those are the bigger
the
ones.
Turkey
but
balls,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, they come, I just like saying turkey balls. I can't say it without laughing. Sorry. Anyway, they're $10 for a package. You can get them at Whole Foods, Choices, Save-On.
But they're and seasonal. They're probably gone now.
Yeah, I know. I load up when I see them. They're pre-stuffed with the stuffing and cranberries. Mm. It's so good. I never even liked Thanksgiving turkey. I thought it was dry and boring, and I would only eat it because I thought I needed the protein. It was the only reason I put it on my plate.
Gardein's
and now
full
I
protein.
Flock to these. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. Flock. We're talking about birds.
Get it? Get
hilarity
it?
Hilarity in here today.
Wow.
Anyway, so speaking of other events that happened last week, it was Vancouver International Film Festival, and I'm always looking for films that are life-changing for people, and one of those that I saw was Blue. So it wasn't life-changing for me, because I'm already aware of what's going on in our oceans, and I've adopted a vegan diet, you know, to try to reduce my impact on the planet. But I thought it was a really beneficial film for people that, you know, there are people out there that go, oh, I just eat a little bit of fish. And I always want to let them know, not only is that bad for your health, but also it's really bad for our oceans, because we have kilometers of nets out there that are catching animals besides just the fish that you're eating. Not that they matter any more or any less, but Blue focused on the plastic in our oceans and how they're affecting wildlife, and I was extremely emotional. People next to me were looking at me because I couldn't stop crying. There was a scene where an activist was pumping some water down the throats of seabirds on this island that is only inhabited by birds. It's so remote, and they're vomiting up everything in their stomachs, and it was
like plastic,
99.9% plastic, and these pieces were big and sharp, way bigger than the esophagus of the animal. Jeez. And then there would be pieces that she could feel in their stomachs were still there after they'd regurgitated everything, so she was pushing it up with her thumbs, and the bird had water coming out of its eyes. It was horrific, but I really hope that it made everyone in the theater think, am I part of this problem? Am I using plastics unnecessarily?
And can you be part of the solution? Yeah. The only way to be part of a solution that seems so large is to actually take part and delve into it and say no. Right.
Yeah.
So we need to be more cognizant about that. How can I reduce my plastic? Like, I think about that all the time.
I know. Ironically, throughout the entire film, I was distracted by three people in the audience crinkling plastic the whole time. One person had a bag, and I felt like just standing up and going, whatever you're trying to get out of your bag, could you please just do it and shut up? And then there were two other people crinkling candy wrappers. And I just hope other people picked up on the irony and thought, yeah, we are obsessed with plastics. And there's evidence of it all around us right now. What else about the film? So there were other scenes where they showed discarded fishing nets under the water with dead seals, dolphins, turtles caught in them. And I just imagined what their death was like as they tried to get out, and they also couldn't breathe.
I know that Sea Shepherd has been working on pulling those nets out, and they've pulled out like kilometers and kilometers of all these nets. But it's such... So these nets, they get cut off, I guess, and they get just like lost in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, they get mangled up and they're no longer useful, so they let them go. There's probably other reasons as well. So I just want to wrap up with one thought. So after the film, I'm always, always doing advocacy. I don't care where I am, in an elevator or whatever. I'll talk to people about animal rights activism. So I took the opportunity when the lights came on to talk to my seatmates about adopting a vegan lifestyle, because I knew they were emotionally impacted by the film as much as me. I could hear their gasping throughout the film. And I got such resistance from a couple of them. And I said, you know, if you're consuming fish, you are part of this problem. And I'm not trying to blame you. I just want you to make the connection. And I always have leaflets on me. So I handed them some leaflets on vegan education. I gave them a business card for the radio show, asked them to listen today. Thank you if you're listening, by the way. And check out our other podcasts on these topics. And then in the elevator, I spoke to some more people. And I said, what did you think of the film? And they were really impacted. And I said, what do you think about going vegan? So that we can reduce our impact on the environment and animals. And they just laughed and said, no, I'm not going to go vegan. But, you know, at least it was planting a seed, and they may think about that or at least talk about it when they may have been, you know, prepared to talk
about
something
else. That
could have
been a big leap for them, but you're right. Yeah. At least it was planting a seed.
Yeah, you've got to keep doing it. I read somewhere recently that it takes 7 times for someone to have a seed planted before they change.
Well, that's a marketing tactic. Mm-hmm. So marketers know that they have to show an ad 7 times so that you can start, so that the consumer will start accepting that idea. And I always think about that.
Yeah.
Tune in every Friday afternoon from 2 to 2:30 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio, where we bring you the Community Living Show. The half-hour show is produced by the disabled community, showcasing for BC self-advocates with lots of interesting and fun content, including some interviews from special guests with special needs. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends every Friday afternoon from 2 to 2:30 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and streaming online at cooperadio.org, because you've got a friend in community living and co-op radio. You got trouble.
So we have some upcoming events for you, and starting off, we have 2 Chicken Save vigils that are happening locally here this coming weekend. So Saturday, October the 14th, will be the Vancouver Chicken Save, starting at 9 a.m. This is a weekly event that Vancouver Chicken Save puts on, and if you want to bear witness to the atrocities that are happening to animals, you should go to this. It takes place at the Hallmark Chicken Slaughterhouse, and that's just at the corner of Hastings and Commercial. It's like right here in Vancouver. And people at these chicken vigils, they come together to bear witness and say goodbye to the chickens before they go to slaughter, taking it to the next level. They're also there to document any cruelty, any extreme suffering, such as broken legs, wings, or wounds, and even dead chickens in the crates. With documenting, they need to be close as well as far away, meaning that footage of the actual event of bearing witness, the scene of the whole as a whole. So people are invited to come by and hold signs and wave to drivers and people, opening people's eyes to the fact that this gray nondescript building is in fact a slaughterhouse. So please join them. This is tomorrow at 9 a.m. And then the next day, a similar event is happening at the Surrey Chicken Save Vigil. Sunday, October the 15th, there is also a slaughterhouse there at Sunrise Poultry Processors. The address is 13542 73A in Surrey. If that's too much of a mouthful for you to remember, just look them up on Facebook. So that'll be Surrey Chicken Save, and that's happening this Sunday, October the 15th, from 1 to 3 p.m.
And also happening on Sunday, November the 5th, is a dairy-free living event from 1 to 4 at the Vancouver Public Library. Tickets range between $10 and $15 with discounts for students. There are a lot of free samples and really interesting talks by nutritionists, dietitians, etc. I attended this about a year ago, and I really, really enjoyed it, even as someone that already is quite aware of the dairy alternatives out there. Who doesn't love free samples of cheese and all the new vegan milks? And of course, I just love listening to nutritionists and dietitians talk about this subject. It gives me some more interesting points to bring up when I'm doing activism. So it's good for everyone.
We had Bridget on the show who organized this event the last time it was on, and it sounded like such a great event, and she does such a great job of organizing. And I think I would like be great to talk about this further on when it's happening, but great event to go to. It sold out last time, so get your tickets soon.
Well, when they're handing out free cheese, of course, it's going to sell out, right? Vegan cheese is amazing. So if any of you are vegetarian and you're looking to kick the dairy habit, please attend. Also, coming up, International Cube Day is where activists engage with the public by showing undercover slaughterhouse footage and encouraging them to adopt a vegan diet. This is, event is place, taking place around the world and growing day by day. It is November the 5th. You can find events near you by searching Anonymous for the Voiceless groups on Facebook. And today we have a feature interview with someone who plans those events in Oahu.
And I'm going to do one on Halloween, right?
In Oahu. Kiana, if you're listening, Allison is confirmed for your event.
For sure.
In Waikiki.
What better way to spend my Halloween in Hawaii? So if you have an upcoming event that you would like to have advertised on our show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. So we'd like to start with some news now. And Jen, did you know that there's a new aquarium that it has just opened at Times Square in New York, where we were this summer, but there's no fish there.
That's so great. I'm really glad to hear it.
Yeah, so this is National Geographic's new aquarium. It's now open in Times Square. So you can swim with whales and dolphins, explore coral reefs while the fish inhabitants dart out of your way, and even play with a seal. And the best part is that no animals are being held captive or harmed, and that's because it's all animated.
That's amazing.
Yeah, how it should be, right? Mm-hmm. And not only is it just animated, but these animations, this technology has been programmed so it can be reactive to the humans who are around it. Isn't that cool?
That's great.
Yeah, it's interactive. So this is called Encounter Ocean Odyssey. And it provides all the astonishment of the ocean. So you get to be like in the ocean, but it's so much better, I would think, than an aquarium. And in fact, the fact that they animated this because like the pictures of down in the ocean aren't as detailed as they wanted. So it's even better than anything you would ever see. You wouldn't be able to, first of all, you would never be able to see this in reality because an aquarium is not like a traditional aquarium is not representative of an actual ocean.
Right.
These animals are being held in captive.
They're depressed.
Yeah.
They're exhibiting psychosis.
And they're in these small confined areas, even as much space as you think an aquarium might perceive it like to have to you. It's nothing for when you're a fish or a dolphin or a whale and you're used to having the whole ocean. So,
and they're not engaging in their natural behaviors because they don't have their natural environment.
So with this interactive environment at this new aquarium. It's called the Aquarium of the Future because this is the future, and I think that all aquariums are going to be this way in the future.
Mm-hmm. So listen up, Vancouver Aquarium.
Go to Times Square.
There you are. So fashion mega brand Gucci has banned the use of fur. The ban will take effect with its spring-summer 2018 collections, and it has signed up to the Fur Free Alliance, an organization that promises to end exploitation and killing of animals for fur as part of a wider sustainability plan. And here's my little two bits. I'm happy about that, but unfortunately, they will still be using wool and leather. I'm hopeful that they will soon open their eyes to the cruelty in these products. And for more information on the wool industry, you can check out YouTube videos by Aaron Janis, a Canadian who makes the most amazing 5-minute videos explaining why certain things involve animal cruelty that you may not know about. Also check out the Earthlings documentary to understand the leather industry. In other news, Vancouver Aquarium donor Tech Resources have been fined nearly $1.5 million after pleading guilty in BC Provincial Court Thursday to 3 counts of violating the Fisheries Act. The court ordered the Vancouver-based mining giant to pay the fine to the Environmental Damages Fund, which will be used for fish protection and conservation in the East Kootenay region of BC. Tech Resources has also been ordered to post the information on the conviction to its website, and it will be added to the federal government's Environmental Offenders Registry, where it already appears for 3 other Fisheries Act violations. Thursday's conviction relates to the 2014 discovery by the federal enforcement officers that Teck was releasing toxic waste, which is harmful to fish, into Line Creek, a watery designed as having high fisheries value. Officers were alerted to the issue after reports of dead fish in ponds near Teck's Line Creek coal operation, which sits 25 kilometers north of Sparward in southeastern BC. An investigation found numerous fish carcasses in the Line Creek watershed, including bull trout, which is identified as a species of specific concern in the area. This incident raises concerns amongst animal rights and environmental activists who are critical of the Vancouver Aquarium's financial partnership with oil mining and gas companies, while claiming to be concerned about the health of our oceans and animals. If you go to the Vancouver Aquarium, you will see Teck's name in large letters on the outside of the building, as well as inside a Teck Connections engagement gallery promoting the brand on its walls. Teck donated $12.5 million to the Vancouver Aquarium, and the aquarium has been criticized for remaining silent on the issue of oil spills and pipelines when asked about this by activists and journalists in the past. And I'll quote someone we've had on the show before, Dr. Jeff Matthews, a scientist. It's difficult to reconcile how a charity deeply committed to protecting our oceans can justify accepting millions of dollars from the industries that profit by placing our oceans and wildlife in peril. In other news, a London-based entrepreneur has set up a plant-based milkman delivery system. According to the outlet, 30-year-old Jamie Chapman, along with his business partner, set up Milkman in response to the growth of veganism. It's spelled M-Y-L-K, which is how vegans often spell milk. Chapman says, "We saw the vegan movement was growing and growing. More people are ditching dairy for environmental and animal cruelty reasons. Just like a classic milkman service, the milk is delivered to London on doorsteps in the morning, with empties picked up to be refilled the next day." Chapman says, "Sustainability is a fundamental to what we do. As well as being plastic free and using glass bottles, we give 10% of our proceeds to Greenpeace, and we're stocked in massive tanks at the Bulk Market Zero Waste shop in Dalston." Milkman offers a range of flavors, including almond, cashew and pistachio, and sweet chai. Each bottle is guaranteed with a minimum of 12% volume of nuts. In addition, Milkman has a Saturday stall at Broadway Vegan Market. I think this is great. I don't like that it's called Milkman, because I think in future perhaps they could have women working there. I also wish that Greenpeace wasn't their recipient of their donations, because Greenpeace does not promote a vegan lifestyle. I think there's other charities they could be giving to, but I am glad that they are getting the idea out there of having vegan milks instead. And one more news story. The hosts of the talk show The View were treated to a vegan cake last week, courtesy of comedian Jon Stewart and his vegan activist partner Tracy. The Stewarts sent a variety of vegan cakes provided by Pennsylvania-based bakery Vegan Treats to prove to co-host Sunny Hostin that vegan baked goods are tasty. The surprise delivery was sparked by a recent show that featured actor Craig Robinson, who was in search of a good vegan cake for his upcoming birthday and had said, "Vegan birthday cakes probably don't taste good."
That's what Sunny said.
That's what Hostin said. Before admitting on the show that she was wrong after trying the cakes sent by the Stewarts. And the Stewarts are actually animal rights activists and the own the newest branch of rescue organization Farm Sanctuary
Check out our podcast interview with Tracy Stewart from a couple of years ago at animalvoices.org. I really enjoyed that interview.
I love that we have all these celebrities on the show.
Did you know that you can help support community radio in Vancouver by donating your old vinyl records and audio equipment? Vancouver's Vinyl Record Donation and Recycling Program is a charitable initiative that raises money for music-related nonprofits in Vancouver. Record donations are accepted year-round and sold at the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair for very reasonable prices. And 100% of the funds raised at the fair goes to Vancouver Co-op Radio, CITR UBC Student Radio, and Girls Rock Camp Vancouver. Since 2013, the donation program has raised nearly $10,000 and recycled over 35,000 vinyl records back into the community. Some donations may be eligible to receive a tax-deductible receipt for 50% of the retail value. Pickup is now available. Go to www.vinylrecordfair.com to arrange for a donation. Vancouver Co-op Radio would like to thank you for your continued support. Vancouver's Vinyl Record Donation Program and Recycling Program is brought to you by the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair and the Vinyl Record Storage Company of British Columbia.
Our feature interview today is with an activist who was born and raised in Hawaii. 32-year-old Kiana Mojica Miyashiro lives in Oahu. She became vegan for health reasons years ago, but is now driven to speak out for animals for ethical reasons and has recently started participating in an event which is gaining worldwide popularity amongst animal rights activists. With a group called Anonymous for the Voiceless, Kiana puts on an event called Cube of Truth, where some activists hold TV screens showing undercover footage of slaughterhouses and industrial farms, and others engage with the public about adopting a vegan lifestyle. We have regular events like this in Vancouver as well. Let's talk to Kiana and learn more about her activism. Hi, Kiana. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How are things in Hawaii today?
It's a bit rainy today, but I live on the east side, and if anyone's ever visited the east side of Oahu, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's luscious and green, and we embrace the rain.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
It's beautiful today.
I'm so envious. I wish I lived there. So you and I have not met in person, but we're connected online via a Facebook group called Vegans of Oahu, and you're a born and raised Hawaiian, and you were not always vegan. So tell us about your journey.
Being born and raised in Hawaii, I mean, like most cultures and like many cultures, I grew up eating what my parents ate and what our grandparents ate. And, you know, it hasn't really changed. And in Hawaii, it was a lot of meat and a lot of rice. Every meal consists of meat and rice. And I was eating fast food. So, I mean, I ate what most people could call and relate to as the standard American diet. So a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugars. In Hawaii, we have everything. So basically, after eating that way for 26 years and dumping meat, eggs, and dairy into my body, I started to feel the effects of that. And, but you know, later on, as you know, when I noticed I started getting tired and not feeling too good, I was taking Zyrtec every single day. That was going on for a few years. I started using nasal spray every day. I really started feeling the effects of these things. I was tired all the time. I was putting on weight, and I was just unhappy. So like most people would do, I went to the doctor to see what was going on and if I could find any answers. I got worked up, and, well, long story short, I left with a prescription, and that was my turning point, was when I realized I couldn't go to the doctor for the answer that I was looking for.
Well, that's great, and I've been following your activism on Facebook, and you and I participate in the same form of activism, which is called Anonymous for the Voiceless. So why don't you describe that for our listeners, because you've been quite involved in this one lately.
Yes, we're super, super excited about this. So Anonymous for the Voiceless is a worldwide animal rights organization that specializes in a form of street activism. And so we go out, and it's almost like a street art, where we go out and we form the Cube of Truth. That's a four-sided cube where we have volunteers standing back-to-back holding screens, laptops, or some kind of window to animal exploitation, I say, and we play videos of factory farming and the fur trade and any kind of animal exploitation, you name it. So we bring the truth out to the public, and we engage in the public, we talk to them, and we not only do that, we offer resources and tips and in hopes to help them fully adapt an ethical vegan lifestyle.
And so your role in this is to speak with the public personally, right?
Yeah. So I was one of the main organizers. I have an amazing group of vegan activists down here in Hawaii, and we are just snowballing, for lack of a better term. But my main goal is to get out there, and I personally engage, and I'm part of the outreach part of what we do. And I just want to put out that November 5th, actually, we're having International Cube Day. This is a huge day for people to stand up against oppression. Anonymous for the Voiceless is standing up for animal rights. We have 123 cubes scheduled and confirmed that's going to go on worldwide. So you can check out anonymousforthevoiceless.org. Find a cube near you. If there isn't one, we have the resources to start one up.
That's awesome. And for anyone who hasn't done this before, and maybe they're a little shy when it comes to engaging with the public, I suggest starting out as someone that's wearing the mask and holding the TV, because you can just stand there and watch and you don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, not only that, we also welcome non-vegans to come and stand in the cube. So if you are open-minded about this movement and against animal cruelty, you can come stand in the cube. And because being in the cube, I haven't personally been in there, but I've talked to everyone who has. And when they're seeing everyone's reactions on the outside, that really leaves you to question and or understand what you're doing there.
It's good. I think it is really effective. And if nothing else, people who are walking by are definitely taking pictures and wondering what's going on. It's definitely something that piques people's curiosity. And where you do it in Waikiki, which is obviously a very tourist central part of Hawaii, there are people that are out with their cameras and they don't necessarily have somewhere to be at a certain time. So I would think that you would get a lot of people stopping and watching. Is that right?
Yeah, we really do. I mean, and I don't know if anybody has ever seen or knows Anonymous for the Voiceless. It's very eye-catching. Whether you think it's a positive or a negative, you're going to look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea.
For sure. And are you noticing different reactions between locals versus tourists at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, we definitely encounter more tourists versus locals on the strip. That's just a given. But as far as the different reactions we get, it's really the open-mindedness of an individual. And we see that across the board. You see, it's a lot of the younger generation, you know, they're coming up a lot more open-minded than like our parents and or grandparents maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see like the younger kids and the younger crowd, like it's definitely easier to strike a conversation. They're a lot more willing to engage. And I'll see the grandmas and grandpas that are just like super closed-minded, and they physically put their blockers up, they put their hands over their eyes, and they walk by, and I get it, you know. I lived with my grandfather, you know, towards the end. He was a stubborn old man, and I see where they're coming from, and I even see some of the younger crowd doing that, and that's what it bothers me more than anything. When I see the younger people, like, physically, like, blocking their eyes and, like, trying to blast by, and even sometimes when I see that and I see it's a younger person, like, I'll try to, like, wave them down. I'll be like, hey, like, you know, and some of them will stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the reactions are mostly good, but shocking across the board.
Well, you know, I try to remind myself that even when you get a negative reaction, you have still planted a seed in their head, and they may be later embarrassed at how they made you feel and how they behaved, and then consider what you were showing. You just don't know this, right? People don't always talk about
yeah.
it. So still, it's a win in the end. You were there
yeah,
and you planted
a
seed.
Yeah, actually, I had to, I kind of helped one of our volunteers through a moment like that. Like, he's a dude, like, he's a, like, macho, straight, heterosexual male, and he's a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So, just his presence out there on the strip, he had other guys walking by, and he did have one guy come up to him and was like, I like chicken nuggets, and walked off, and he came up to me and was like, I'm furious right now, and I kind of had to, like, talk him through it. I was like, look, man, your presence alone is going to threaten other guys, okay?
Mm.
And I had to understand that if he really didn't care what you were doing or what we were doing here, he would have walked by and he wouldn't have said nothing.
Interesting.
But he felt threatened and he was bothered by what we were doing, and that's why he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him to take that and to understand that and to feel good about it.
Awesome.
You know, and he didn't look at it that way, but the second he did, he was like, wow, you know, I was like, if he really didn't care, he wouldn't have said nothing.
You're smart.
But he was threatened by what we were doing, and he felt the need to do that. So that's
yeah.
exactly like a good point that what you said. He's going to hopefully think about that later and be like, oh, I kind of made an ass of myself.
Right, totally.
Which he did.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really smart. I like that. It's a good way to look at it. I find you very positive, and this is an example of how you are someone who turns what could be a negative situation into something that's hopeful. Thank you for being that way.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to, you know, oppression like this and injustice like this, there's zero room for negativity. Like,
right.
Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm.
That negativity gets no attention, no energy. It doesn't exist.
Well,
it's all about the love.
Let's switch gears for a minute and talk about the Hawaiian culture. So I know that Hawaiians are really proud of their cultural history. I have a few friends on Oahu, and they do maintain ancient traditional customs, and this includes a celebration where traditionally a whole pig is cooked in the ground. And I've avoided bringing this up with my Hawaiian friends because I'm sensitive to the fact that historically and they continue to be oppressed by Caucasian people. So I don't feel that it's my place, but you are a native Hawaiian yourself. So how do you approach people on this?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely get that it's a touchy subject, and it's not just with Hawaiians. It's like, it's cultures across the world. And I think that when your culture has an involvement with sacrifice or taking, I mean, you know, with hurting animals, I should say. I mean, they just had that Jewish thing in New York where they ripped the chicken's head off kind of thing, and Hawaiians like to eat pigs, and it's across the board. And I think those types of, that part of culture and those traditions, I think it's okay to veer away from, you know, and especially, I guess, in Hawaii, we see the health of our people. We see the diabetes. We see the heart attacks and the strokes. And these are all our, like, older uncles, like our grandfathers. Well, most of our grandfathers are, but, you know, the older generation of Hawaii and what our diet, where it has led to us. And especially when it comes to fish, that's a huge one. So what we vegans or the plant-based movement has in our favor is health and environment. And a lot of Hawaiians and people that were born and raised on this island have a love and appreciation for and a respect for our oceans. And when the fish is kind of an easier one than the pigs, but when we bring up, you know, what the fisheries are doing to the oceans and what commercial fisheries do and how they do it and how it's basically raping the ocean, once I like kind of just point them in that direction and be like, check it out, like, take a look at it, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, you supporting this by, you know, going to the store and ordering the fish and eating fish, basically, if that's what it's doing to the ocean. And if that doesn't get their attention, I say look into the quality of the flesh that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go ahead. Just go ahead and do your research. You don't need me to stand here and tell you this, and you don't need to take my word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the quality of the meat that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't understand, like, don't hurt the fish because it's mean, or don't support commercial fisheries because the oceans are basically dying, well, if you care about your health, we can bring the pigs and the fish into it, and the quality of the fish and what pork does in our bodies, it's getting them to understand that.
Yeah, and line caught, free range, none of that makes a difference. These things are not good for our bodies, right?
It's not good for our bodies, and the poor fish in the ocean already, like, they're tainted.
Mm-hmm.
Their flesh is tainted. It's not clean.
Right.
And there's really nowhere you can go or nothing you can do about that. You're going to eat dirty fish.
Right, right. Yeah. So
and the farm stuff is even worse.
Yeah, the health angle for sure is necessary one for us in this argument. If someone doesn't have the compassion to recognize that, for example, a pig is more intelligent than a dog, and we would never treat a dog this way. So let's move on to the pig discussion. You have a pig named Pearl.
I do have a pig named Pearl.
And you use her for activism.
I do use her for activism. She's something special. And after being vegan for 4 years and then catching that activist bug, I really felt like I was looking for something to connect with people, because I was finding it difficult as a standalone vegan to do that. Like, I try my best to use my lifestyle as a tool, which works great. but I was like, you know, I've always had dogs, and I've always had a dog with me, and I thought that if I had an animal that people actually eat, like for say a pig, I was like, we can maybe make some connections that way. So I got it in my head that I wanted to rescue a pig. I wanted to take it out. I wanted to connect with people, and I want to talk about veganism. So the idea popped into my head. I started manifesting like crazy. One day I put an ad on Craigslist. I said, look, I'm looking to adopt a pig. No money's involved. I can offer a great home. That's it. Hit me up if you know of one. So about a month in, I got after talking to my wife the day before, I was giving her the specifics on the pig that I wanted, because I have so many dogs. I needed like, you know, a like ready to go, adorable, cute little social piggy, basically. And I knew it was a long shot, and I was talking to her about it, and the ad that she had no idea that I posted a month before got answered that very next day. So I tell my wife I want to adopt a pig. The next day I get the phone call, we pick up Pearl, the rest is history. We go to Kailua Beach Park every Friday afternoon, and Pearl's magic. She's a magnet. People flock over, they see this cute pig, she's wearing a lei. They're admiring her, they're loving on her. They want, can I take pictures with your pig? Can I pet your pig? And I'm like, absolutely. Aww. So they're meeting Pearl, and then I hit them with the question. I say, do you eat meat? The looks I get on people's faces.
Wow.
But I quickly remind them, don't even worry about it. I did too.
I love you.
And we start the conversation from there.
Kiana, I have tears in my eyes. I'm so touched by what you do. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a newfound passion, and I found my purpose, I feel like. And I love it because for 26 years, I claim to be an animal lover, and I consume them. So my I'm sorry to the animals are I am going to be the best vegan activist that I can be, and I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to get people to wake up and realize that we can live better.
Yeah, that was cognitive dissonance that we all had. We all said we were animal lovers, but we didn't always act like it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we need to recognize that. And that is a theme of our show today, is what is cognitive dissonance and how can we address that in our lives? And it's not about saying to people, you're a hypocrite. As a rule, I don't call people hypocrites because we all are. But I do want us to be able to call ourselves out on that if we can, right?
I say I used to be a hypocrite.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's good when you talk about yourself and you're not pointing fingers so much. And I love that you're using Pearl as you're turning Pearl into an activist pig. She is veganizing people. That's awesome.
Oh, she's absolutely. When people ask, like, oh, is she your pet? I say, no, she's like part of our team. And then when my other activist friends, when they ask about Pearl, I'm like, she's ours. Like, she's with us. You're her voice just as much as I'm her voice.
That's awesome. Well, tell me about how many... Pearl, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Pearl just can't communicate in English, but that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you found her. It was serendipitous.
She's even got a Japanese translator as well.
So how many other animals do you have, Kiana? Tell us about them.
Okay, so Pearl would be number 12. I actually have 8 dogs and 3 cats. So my 8 dogs are, of course, all my animals are rescued, and what's keeping my number like at 8 is that I do have requirements for the animals that I do keep, and all my animals are either geriatric or special needs. Other than that, we do foster out. I'll foster a dog and we adopt them out. But I do have 8 dogs, and they're all rescued and special needs. And my 2 special guys, I guess, that I actually use to advocate as well, is that I have a pit bull, and we advocate for pit bulls as well. Ryder is, he was born with swimmer's puppy syndrome, and that's basically when they're like a little starfish, if you can imagine, puppy, where their legs sprawl out, and he wasn't able to stand, so At about 10 weeks old, we started him in physical. We started physical therapy with him. We started binding his legs, and as he grew, he, you know, his muscles formed, and he's okay now. He had to wear straps for a few months, but he's happy and thriving. And I understand that as he ages in his later years, he'll probably be a special needs dog, and he's going to end up in that wagon or cart. But that's what I signed up for, and he's amazing. He wouldn't hurt a baby chick if you put it next to him. So he runs off leash all over the place, and people sometimes trip out. They're like, "That's a pit bull," and I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And they're like, they can't believe it. So he's my little pit bull advocate. And my latest addition is a little golden retriever, Australian Shepherd puppy. Her name is Keller. And we named her Keller after Helen Keller because she's blind and deaf. So she's about 4 months old now. And if you saw, you can check out on my Instagram. Like, you can see that if you didn't know anything was wrong with this puppy, it would not even cross your mind. She's living, thriving, and happy, and she's blowing people's minds every day.
Wow, that surprises me. Yeah, I don't know if I would be happy if I was a blind and deaf dog.
Yeah, she was born like that, and from, I think I must have got her at like 6 weeks old, and she was right from 6 weeks old introduced into a pack of eight, but this is a balanced pack, and this dog has no clue anything is wrong with her.
Wow.
It's really inspiring.
I'm glad she's with you. Of all the people in the world she could have ended up with.
I am too. I we are so blessed to have her, and she inspires me every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, before the conversation, Kiana, before we started our interview here, you and I were talking about a similarity that you have between with one of our co-hosts on the show here. So we've got Sinead Sanders as a co-host here. She's not on today's show, but she actually used to volunteer at the Vancouver Aquarium, and then she kind of woke up to the reality of the exploitation that was going on there. And your journey into veganism, animal rights work, is quite similar in that you worked at Sea Life Park.
Yeah, I did. So, you know, as you go through school, you know, I think every kid in school is asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, you're kind of told to think about it. So my answer to that was I wanted to train dolphins and train whales. So, eventually, yeah, I did end up applying at Sea Life Park and getting my foot in the door there. I was a videographer and photographer at Sea Life Park. I lasted a little over a year. It was a fun summer job. And, you know, when it got cold and I had to get in the water, I pretty much bounced and I was out. But I never really made the connection with how wrong it was while I was there. Until like years later. But yeah, like while I was at Sea Life Park, I thought I had like the dopest job. Like, I got to get in the water with the dolphins every day. I got to watch them every day and see them and touch them and feed them. And I was completely like blinded by all of this. I didn't really know anything. I thought I was going into Sea Life Park to learn stuff, to learn about these animals. And, well, of course, while I was there, they told me how happy they were and how, you know, all these rake marks are just due to them playing rough, and how the sores in their mouths are, I don't even know what they told me about that. I actually assisted in some of the surgeries, you know, after hours, and some of these removals of, you know, their sores in their mouths. And I wanted to spend as much time with these animals as I could, so I did take every opportunity to do so. So I did assist in a few of the surgeries. We drained the tanks. We jumped on these whales. We held them down while the doctor lasered their mouths. We would betadine. I would watch them betadine their wounds. You know, they have all these all new scrape marks, and they're doing betadine, and I think thinking nothing of it. You know, because they're making excuses and telling me that they're playing rough and that this is normal and that it's okay. And there were times where we had to get in the water, and it was just disgusting. It was dirty. It was filthy. Mm-hmm. And regardless, if this was wrong, I knew that the water quality was wrong. that's just understanding that the water quality is basically shit, you know. And on top of it, what always did kind of bother me was that Sea Life Park is directly across the street from the most beautiful body of water in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, how tragic.
Literally across, like a few hundred feet off there.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, for anybody, you don't even have to really know and understand dolphins to know that they're pretty smart. So to have the ocean right across the street and to know that they're in there, it kills me every day.
Yeah. What did they tell you about why the dolphins were there? Did they tell you they were all rescued? Because that is a common lie in these facilities.
I knew the history of some of them. Like Ke Kai Malu is the false killer whale that's there. Or maybe she's the hybrid wolfin that's there. And I knew that her father was captured off of the coast of Makapu, right off of the island there.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew he was wild caught and brought in. And then he ended up mating with another one of the dolphins who was, I forgot where, I think her name was Poliahu. I think she was bought in the trade. And then while I was there, there were a few dolphin births, and then, you know, but I was aware that, yeah, that they were, like, bought and shipped in and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that even taken from the wild. And I did think it was wrong, but I also didn't understand how wrong captivity was.
Yeah. Well, we live and learn, and bringing us to this present time, you focus most of your activism on trying to get people to change their diets to a vegan one. What is your opinion on having maybe some time in your life, although you have many animals, you probably have very little time in your life, but maybe making time for doing some activism around these very plentiful swim with the dolphin programs that are all over the Hawaiian Islands, or maybe even other people that you work with as an activist? Do they take on any of this work?
Yeah, actually Animal Rights Hawaii, they're like, one of their main focus is on the captivity of these dolphins on the island, because we do have two facilities here, the Kahala Mandarin and Sea Life Park, that have dolphins. So I've been to a few of their one of the protests out at Sea Life Park, and they're actually, I think their main focus is on a false killer whale named Kina right now that's basically in a little cesspool in the back of Sea Life Park. And she was kept out at Coconut Island for sonar research. She was actually found to have some of the most advanced sonar ever studied, and she was auctioned off to Sea Life Park. And now she's just sitting back there. I don't know what's going to happen to her or what their plans are with her. But I know Animal Rights Hawaii is working really, really hard to get her story out and help her.
Well, the days must be so long for any animal in captivity. It's just
such
a shame.
I mean, I would never forget seeing my first time seeing a sick dolphin in one of the sick tanks in the back, and how sad it was. Like,
yeah,
it's... When I got to the back of Sea Life Park, that's kind of when the wheels kind of started turning, and I was like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you evolved into the wonderful, kind-hearted activist you are today, and you are working so hard, and thank you so much, Kiana, for making time to share your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And soon our co-host, producer Allison Cole, is actually going to Oahu at the end of October, and I'm going to suggest that she join you for a cube. So I hope you have a lot going on and there's something she can take part in.
Absolutely. We'd love to have her. We actually have a cube scheduled for October 31st. So
great.
If she's going to be here then, let's do it. If not, we'll schedule one while she's here.
I think she will be. So we will be in touch, and I definitely hope to meet you. I go to Hawaii quite a bit, and I would love to meet you in person and join you with this event as well.
Can't wait to have you.
Okay, Kiana, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
That was an activist from Oahu, Kiana Mojica Miyashiro, talking about her journey to veganism and animal rights work that she does. And Allison, what do you think? You're going to take part in the Cube?
I think she's amazing, first of all. I really want to meet Pearl. And yes, I am, because I'm on vacation, and that's how I want to spend my Halloween. Yeah. So for sure, I can rarely make activist demos here in Vancouver because I'm working all the time. So it's a perfect way to spend my birthday week.
That's great. We're expecting pictures and videos if you do that.
So I did see a video of them doing a recent one they had, I think, last week, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder if they'll have one when I'm there, and they will.
So what role do you think you'd like to take? Would you want to hold the TV, or do you want a leaflet?
I don't know, whatever they need.
You're bold enough to do the leafleting and the talking?
I am a seasoned leafleter as much, I leafleting I will do when I have time, and I will have time in Hawaii because I'm on vacation.
You'd be good at it. You have a lot of background knowledge to argue with anyone who's got all the yabats. Yeah, but you do get the yabats, right? And you have to be able to...
Yeah, but I like chicken nuggets, as that one person said.
And then you'll tell them about Gardein, right?
Oh, yeah. They have Gardein in Costco there in the States. So.
And they have Kite Hill cheese. Bring me some, please.
Oh, okay. Sure. No problem. Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much for that interview. And you have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show on Friday, October the 20th. We'll be having author Britt Ray on the show in person in the studio to speak about her book, Rise of the Necrofauna, The Science, Ethics, and Risks of De-Extinction. Plus, it's National Wolf Awareness Week next week, and Amir, you'll be giving us a review of a film. Is it called The Valley of the Wolves?
The Valley of the Wolves, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, can you give us a brief, like, one or two sentence synopsis to captivate our listeners?
Yeah, it's just not as focused on animal rights as you might think.
But it's about a man who goes to live with wolves, right?
I think that's pretty interesting. So it was almost more like Survivor Man than it was about the wolves. But we'll get into that next week.
Okay, so stay tuned for that next week. And it is National Wolf Awareness Week next week as well. And the Vancouver International Film Festival continues as well into, I think it's over today.
October 13th.
Yeah, so we saw some good films there. So we here at Animal Voices, we want to connect with you online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows or download shows as podcasts. You can also read our show blog there with detailed links, and you can subscribe to us via iTunes. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. We also have Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. You can send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. So to end the show today, we are playing a song for our Hawaiian friends who are listening today. This is a Canadian band, The Tragically Hip. This song is called Bob Cajun. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. And remember to be kind to the animals.
Left your house this morning about a quarter after nine. Could have been the Willie Nelson, could have been the wine. When I left your house this morning, it was a little
little laugh tonight.